The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, October 25th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I have a show where I have so much housekeeping to do, so I'm going to start off with my housekeeping so quickly I can get through that I'm able to start off with one or two topics I want to discuss today. Okay, first topic. Paul Fernanda giving out all kind of tickets today. Guardian Radio is giving away 100 tickets. We have 100 or more because people been walking in all day. We're giving out 100 tickets. The Bahamas is playing. This is a baseball ticket at the new stadium. The Bahamas is playing against Curacao at 7 p.m. today at the Andre Rogers Stadium, right? The place is going to be packed. And they're giving us 100 tickets to give out. But guess what? We're giving out one ticket per person. But this is a catch. If you bring your child, even if it's a baby, even if your child big grown, we can give out two. So it's one ticket per adult. But if you bring a child, you get an extra one. No matter how old the baby is, we give you that second ticket. So that's between now and 5 o'clock, maybe, or until all the tickets run out.
Right.
Yes. So that's Guardian concierge desk downstairs, the help desk downstairs. You can come up and present yourself. You get that one ticket to watch the Bahamas beat up on Curacao. That starts at 7 p.m. today at Andre Rogers Stadium. Or if you bring your baby with you, young baby, young child, you get an extra ticket just because they bring it. So you can get a second ticket that way. Also, I haven't read this for the entire week, and I'm surprised that Dwight hasn't noticed yet because he sent it directly to me to read. For this November, Nassau Guardians celebrating 180 years. This place is the old place. For 180 years, Nassau Guardians has been open, and we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping us to make this one of the papers in the region. Oh, that's good. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway. That means we're giving away free things. Beginning October 28th. Today's the 25th, right? Mm-hmm. So the 28th is which day?
Monday.
So beginning October 28th through November 22nd. That's a whole month of activities. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo. So there's a Nassau Guardian 180 years logo, which is printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win a big prize money. So you look through the newspaper, look for the Guardian 180 years logo, and you bring that in, right? And just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the hidden 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut it out of the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on clipping, drop off your entries at the office on Carter Street. That's where we located?
That's where we is right now.
I always say it's Nassau Guardian opposite Kentucky. I didn't know it had a name, the street.
Don't let the fact that there's not a sign suggest that the road doesn't have a name.
Yeah, and I just say down the road from the head office. I didn't really know, you know.
In fact, we are number 5.
We are number 5? Carter Street? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Where Hostel Drive is?
We number 4?
We number 4? See, we're getting corrected. Thank you very much.
When they change the number?
You just don't know where he is. You worse than me. Because I just couldn't. The Nassau Guardian.
Right? Anyway, you know when they did the street, the house numbering exercise?
Yeah.
My house is number 2.
Okay.
I got 2 twos on my house, though.
There's 22.
No, it's 2.
Yeah.
But the twos are different color. I said, but what happened to the, you're not going to remove the O? They're different colors. People will know.
It's a difference.
It's a difference.
Yeah. Okay. One black, two.
And one blue and white. One blue and white and one black and white.
Yeah. It reflects your neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, there'll be one drawing will take place to win and pick the lucky winner. It's that simple, right? So the Nassau Guardian 180th Anniversary Vision Challenge giveaway promo. And that's how we are celebrating Nassau Guardian being 180 years old. You buy the newspaper, you clip it out, you bring your name, write your name on it, put it in the box, so you have drawing on the Fridays, and you win money.
Did you ask if you could play?
April, can I play or my wife play for the 180 vision? No.
What about me? I don't have a wife. I can play,
right?
My
wife don't work here, though. She doesn't. I am affiliated. I can either ask you if you'll help me on a pension plan, though, you know, or a retirement plan, but I affiliated. And I can't win nothing.
Don't ask them.
Don't ask them that,
don't,
right? Yeah.
Don't ever ask anybody to put you on a road. When I asked my grandma about a retirement plan when I was waking, but she said, I could retire you right now.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. No.
So that's for the two things, the housekeeping things I want to do. Now on to what I want to talk about, and I have like two or three things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, yesterday we discussed the issue, that scenario that's happened in Grand Bahama with the lady with the old folks home, right? I don't necessarily want to talk about that because we mashed that up yesterday in terms of the conversation. The conversation I want to have is similar, but different. And I want the listening audience to participate in that, and I want you to give commentary on it. This is what my issue is. We are short of facilities for elderly people to live, stay. Mm-hmm. Right? In Princess Margaret Hospital, I'm not sure if you know, but it's on the news. We have elderly senior citizens who have checked in for whatever medical issues they had and unable to check out because their relatives
cannot provide the medical care that they need at a home location.
Not that. They refuse to pick them up.
Is it because they cannot provide the care that they need in their homes?
These people are better. They're not ailing that they cannot be sent home. The issue is to be released. You need to be released into someone's care. They have been abandoned at the hospital. So they're stuck. They're in limbo. They're okay, but they can't go home.
China has found the need to create legislation to deal with similar issues occurring in China because of internal migration and people having to move to centers, to big cities for employment and access to services, older parents and grandparents remain in these rural areas. And the issue became so, the China created legislation that mandated that children have to attend to their parents. It's against the law to know that you have an elderly relative in a rural area and you're not tending to them. And so perhaps that's the route we need to take.
Yes. There is a Percy Rogers, yes, a retirement home, old folks home.
Residential care facility.
I already call the name, right? But anyway, let me skip around the name. That has residents, elderly residents, 80, 90 plus, whose children have left them there. They abandoned them. They don't have no one who comes to visit on Christmas, Thanksgiving to pay whatever fees there is for these elderly people. It seems as if we have a crisis at these homes. We know wherever government homes is already packed. The government cannot facilitate any more residents there, right? To wherever homes. So there's private people who have taken up the mantle and say, well, we will help. And I just want my question coming. So forgive me. I'm getting right now. In Grand Bahama, the lady who everyone is irate with, I think she has about three different homes. Where she does
three different facilities.
Facilities.
Yeah.
Where she has residents about 30 plus living there, whatever conditions. And I remember we were talking about social services need to inspect and make sure the residents are well taken care of. So I see that's a separate issue. And we might talk about that too. There's now a lobby in Grand Bahama saying we need to close this lady down. Right? And that I pause because I understand the angst. I understand the rage that the emotions that we are having now due to this issue. And like I said, the issue is secondary. I don't want to talk about the issue. But I'm saying Grand Bahama has several institutions that take care of senior citizens. It's a demand in Grand Bahama.
No, it's a demand in the country.
It's a demand in the country. And then I hear people say, man, we got to close this lady down. And say, what happens to the 30 residents?
Okay, so cool.
That's the question. Where are we going? You go now.
Both things could be true, right? Like, the state has a responsibility and a duty. And if they find that the facility is falling below acceptable standards, they have a duty to close the home. Mm-hmm. They also have a duty to the people they find in the home to ensure access to facilities, even if they don't provide the actual service. They provide access to someone who is providing the service. So the state has a duty of care, right? Both things could be true, that you may have to close down the facility and you still have to find alternate housing for the residents of that facility.
And I always say that you speak as if this is a utopia. I understand and I appreciate that the state has
a duty. The law is a utopia. Yeah. No. I've been talking to politician talk. The law is a utopia.
Let me set up the conversation. We know there are women at risk who need housing, and the government said, we just don't have it, right? They usher people out to, man, you're here for 6 months, you need to find some place to go. We know families that the government said, you've been living inside this apartment now for 20 years, this government-sponsored apartment, you need to make space for these other 200 people who are on our waiting list. Mm-hmm. We have people who are waiting. Mm-hmm. We know we have people living in cars. We know that we have people at Sandlin's geriatric, mm-hmm. right? Who being lived, the elderly people being living there. They're able to just go there and whatever, do whatever services and come out. Their family has abandoned them at the geriatric ward. They just can't leave. Mm-hmm. We have people at Princess Margaret also. Their family has abandoned them. They just can't leave. We have people at the government facilities, the old folks' home, whose family has abandoned them, right? The government's being taxed, overwhelmed by trying to.
What people just talk about in church?
I don't know what they talk about in church.
I mean, because you just keep reminding me I don't go. I don't know what they be talking about.
But the
in church
overwhelmed too. The church always donating and doing things too.
No, I didn't say the church. I say what people is be talking about when they in church.
God. What do you think people be talking about when they go in church? God. And being safe. You realize that's what we're talking about.
I don't know if I going.
Hell could be hot, Aaron. I try to save you.
Grand Bahama hot right now. I don't know. I don't know.
They further up north. They're nearer to the south.
That's what I'm saying.
But my point, and this is what the conversation is, right? What can be done to help the government and the facilities, help the demand? This calling for Miss Knowles to close her place, knowing that there's a shortage in Grand Bahama, shortage throughout the Bahamas, shortage on the family islands, right? Even in need of beds, they have old facilities, right? Mm-hmm. We are hurting as a country, and I'm not sure if we having the type of conversations that we, the public, the general public say, hey, I see we short. You all need some beds and linen? Mm-hmm. We during community service. Because I know my child at St. Anne's, they used to go to there's an old folks home right on that Fox Hill Road. So Christmas and before school closed, the grade 12, the swim team, the basketball team, they go and donate as part mm-hmm. of their
community service.
Yeah. But I want to know, are all of the schools doing that? Or we just say, man, out of sight, out of mind.
It's out of sight, out of mind. But let's start here. What can be done, right? The first question you ask. And I think we have to have a conversation to determine collectively what can be done immediately, what can be done in the short term, in the midterm, and in the long term, right? In the immediately, right, the question of what happens to the residents in a facility if the state, upon inspection of the facility, determines that the facility needs to be closed. Right, in the absence of other housing options. Well, the first thing that we could do is encourage people to build housing for Bahamians and focus on Bahamian needs, as opposed to encouraging people to build housing options for tourists and the Ministry of Tourism. It's the first thing we could do. We have a whole lot of people who are, have now become established members of society, but it appears they have no interest in being actual members of society, as opposed to building affordable home housing options for Bahamians. They want to build affordable housing options for high-end foreigners, right? We have a real, real housing crisis, and perhaps this will highlight it. We need not just affordable housing for young people transitioning into adulthood, for young people transitioning from the Outer Islands to New Providence, right? We need affordable housing options for young mothers, young fathers, young families.
Whose job is that? Who's responsible for that?
The state has a responsibility to ensure access is available.
So I want you to stick a pin there.
Yeah.
Because our Minister of Housing is bragging that she's building houses like crazy. They come popping up from popcorn. But when last has our government did a groundbreaking, because we're doing groundbreaking every other week, a groundbreaking ceremony for an apartment complex for indigent families to say, well, because I just drove through on Market Street and through the size corner of Market Street. I didn't know we had so many pink apartment buildings, government buildings that helps inner city people. Mm-hmm. But when last was one built? Is that part of the government's mandate, creating spaces where poor people can live?
So is it the government's job to house people? No. The government does have a duty of care to ensure everyone has access, right? Has equal and equitable access to housing. It's slightly building houses. When it becomes egregious, I say good morning to my return to idealism friends. When it becomes egregious is when you find that the government is fraternizing with individuals who have the wherewithal and the capacity to provide this access, but prefer to focus on high-end housing options. It gets better, because it wouldn't be as big of an issue if it didn't appear, APPEAR, if it didn't appear on the surface as if the government was in collusion with the political and merchant class, because it appears as if they're solely focused on initiatives to drive greater tax returns to the government. Right?
So I'll ask you this. You use the word collusion, you use the word fraternizing, right?
And I use the word appear. Most important, because it appears. Yeah.
We have a number of mega millionaires who the government appears to be fraternizing. These, I could picture two different individuals whose millions were made through housing development. Mm-hmm. That's their business. They have companies that build houses, right? Since the government is intimately involved with them, daily talking, they knighting and giving positions to these people, should the government make overtures to these great men who have real money to say, man, you need to do more in terms of housing and affordable. No, that low-cost housing would cost $140,000 to $200,000. Smaller housing development where, again, at-risk families can get access instead of saying, oh, we're building another condominium, because that's what they're in now, too. They're building condominium for foreigners. They ain't doing nothing for us.
What I expect the social scientists, right, the economists and the social scientists to have conversations, right, that make it very clear that in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the vast, and with the political and economic models that play, the vast majority of Bahamians are not expected to be homeowners. See, that's what the problem is. The problem is that you are telling people that they should be homeowners, but you're telling them that in an environment that you created, and mm-hmm. that environment precludes the vast majority of people from being homeowners. See, that's the most egregious of it, it's a psychological ploy where you convince people that they can't be or they won't be real members of society unless they have a home, mm-hmm. but then you don't actually acknowledge that it's very unlikely that they will ever own a home.
I remember there was a statement by the minister, again, about housing, encouraging people to build apartments, right? Doing all kind of incentives. See, we're trying to provide housing, more housing for people by telling them they can get apartments. But if the apartment is first and last month rent is $1,500 for the first month rent, so who can afford that? So that is not answering the plight.
Right. So
for
like you say,
working class
the,
people.
The government encouraging private business owners to build apartments is one thing. If the government doesn't provide regulations for rent control, rent regulations, then you're just creating a mechanism where people could take advantage of people. Mm. Right? It doesn't work. Incentivizing private businesses to build apartments doesn't, in aim of providing affordable housing, doesn't work unless you have regulations in place. For instance, everybody and anybody is realizing that they could generate more money from turning their property into Airbnb or a short-term rental property as opposed to renting to people who need affordable housing. They're all going for that option.
Let's go to the caller. You went to a meeting at, not Expo, anyway, at UB, mm-hmm. when they had intellectualism people giving speeches. And I shook my head saying, man, this don't impact me. This beyond me. These intellectuals ain't talking on my level or saying things that can help me and mine. Mm-hmm. This is helping them and theirs, right? Should we expect these intellectuals, these pseudo-intellectuals, right, to come up with solutions to help the majority of Bahamians? And are they doing it besides grandstanding and making speeches in WhatsApp groups?
You really want to go to the phone call first?
Let's go to the phone call first. Go ahead, Cora. Guardian Radio.
Good day. Good day. How you all doing today?
Me doing well, man.
So I would like to point out one thing, and I would like us to just take a moment and listen carefully to what I'm saying. So there's something in the IMF known as structural readjustment, also known as the Washington Consensus. This is not conspiracy. This is factual. And it simply goes like this. If you borrow money from the IMF, you engage in what is called structural readjustment, and then you have to find a way. Don't pay them back, right? The loan compounds, and one of the first things they do is they privatize all of your government entities, like your water, your light, and then they auction them off to the bidder of their choice, right? But the whole scheme of this process is to deregulate a country's government, meaning that government will not set the price. There will be no regulations on the prices they set for any amenities. They are moving more towards, it's a gentleman by the name of Milton Friedman, and it's laissez-faire capitalism, where you have no government regulation or deregulation of a central government, where companies are allowed to control the economics of a country. So, and then, you know, you have globalization where transnational companies set up these companies all over the world. Now, the people who are building these apartments, if you look at the cost, it's shooting up. And so they are going to pass that cost over to consumers. See, it is an all-in effort. It's an all-in plan in accordance with structural readjustment. And we can't, unfortunately, there's no way of stopping it. You will see the prices increase. And because of the inflation, some of these prices skyrocketed because of structural readjustment. And if we do a little bit of research on that, we would see that no pretty words, and there's nothing anyone could do, and it's coming like a storm, and it's consuming everything.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that. I have a text here. Says, good morning, CA Aaron. In my opinion, we just need the people that run these homes to be honest. A lot of churches and private sectors are donating and doing their part. But the things don't get to the patients most of the times. the staff and the owners allegedly take the things home.
Right, and that's where regulations would come in, right? Like donations have to be made a particular way. They have to be recorded, not just with the facility, but it has to be recorded with a state agency. You have, like, we literally just sit here and say, politicians, y'all be honest. Okay, I going in the bush, I going go do some teething, but when I come back, make sure y'all being honest. Mm-hmm. You have to create regulations and mechanisms to keep people within the scope of the law. Make it hard for them to be dishonest and to be crooked. When you say we just need them to be honest, we wake up and it's implied, right? It's implied when you're a caretaker of a residential, a geriatric residential care facility. When we wake up in the morning, it's implied that you're a decent person, that you act with integrity because you're taking care of vulnerable older people.
Well, again, what's happening with the people who are still living at Princess Margaret Hospital, Sandlands Geriatrics Hospital?
We have to break down our response. I think it would be great to look at what needs to be done immediately, what can be done in the short term, midterm, and long term, right? Immediately, if there are allegations or if after an inspection of a home, the state determines that the home needs to be closed immediately, there has to be a health and safety issue. For instance, we find that they're not taking care of the building. There's black mold in the building affecting the health of the patients. They got to be moved. We got to have emergency housing available temporary to move them until we identify a new space. If the living environment in and of itself is up to standard or beyond, then the question is, can we treat this like a land matter where the government acquires land? We can take your land and give you market value. Is it possible that the government step in and take control of the residential facilities and compensate the owner of the property adequately, even if at some point they will be prosecuted in the law for breaches, right? That's like immediately what needs to be done and what can be done. Do we have alternate housing available to rehouse these people, right? Another question, your staff. How quickly can your staff then meet with the family of the dependents that are in these care facilities to make new arrangements with new facilities? The state should make themselves available to facilitate that process with family dependents. Now, in the short and mid and long term, we're looking at policy changes. We're looking at enhancement of and strengthening of regulations and legislation pertaining to this matter. But in all government safe houses, shelters, emergency and temporary shelter and housing options, space should be considered for geriatric people. I found one proverb today, and I'm supposed to ask my station manager if I could use this word, right? But I found a proverb today, and I think it is the best thing ever. It's an African proverb. I took a screenshot of it, and it says, Mr. Nuri, if the throat can grant passage to a knife, then the bottom should wonder how to expel it, right? If the throat could give passage to a knife, then the bottom should wonder how to expel it.
Everything is connected.
Well, no, if it's possible, mm-hmm. you need to consider it. Mm-hmm. Like you know people get old. Mm-hmm. This is it. We know people get old. Mm-hmm. Not only do we know people get old, we join them in praying for long life. We give money to them so they could live longer, but we have no concern or thought about, well, where are they going to live when they get older?
I still believe in the duty of care, and I believe in overtures, right? Again, we have mega millionaires here. Bohemian. I'm not talking about expats or people who are passing through. Mm-hmm. We have millionaires who've made their money here in the Bahamas.
Hold on. And let's say, we have millionaires that want us to join them in rejoicing and drag my foot.
Yeah.
Barefoot through the ground.
I grew up poor.
Right. I grew up, my daddy was a subsistence farmer. My mummy was a nurse. Mm-hmm. I had to read in the side of the house where the light was. But then you don't even remember that poor people exist?
Yeah. That you go in the neighborhood and give out dinner parcels or food parcels, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're watching the guy live in his car as you drive past and give out the parcel to him
mm-hmm.
to take it to his car. And then we must cheer you on. Say, man, you're doing a good job. Look how much things you've done back.
You give people food to cook, but don't acknowledge that you don't see no gas tank nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you give them chicken.
Yeah.
We don't know fridge and electricity.
Mm-hmm. You're giving them Kraft macaroni and cheese, but they can't store milk and butter.
Yeah. It's peculiar.
Odd.
But we grateful for them all the same. Yes. But when we come back, we'll transition because I want to talk about what's in that headline, an ambulance. Some of our drivers just big, right? And they can't fit into the small ambulance. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, I have Aaron Green with me. And we're going to talk about the ambulance next, right? We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-67. Message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion, beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo, print it every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day, beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield, and every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place. It's that simple.
Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One Family. Saxon and the Valley, Rush Music Makers One
Family. And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I just want to remind people that we have all kind of tickets downstairs at the concierge desk, the help desk there at Guardian Radio, which is located, where are we located again? What's that street called?
Number 4 Carter Street.
Number 4 Carter Street. We have 100 tickets we're trying to give away, right? First come, first serve gets it. You get one ticket per person. However, if you bring a young child with you, we give you 2 tickets, right? But this is for tonight, 7 p.m. The Bahamas is playing. The Bahamas plan to beat upon Curacao. This actually is a week-long baseball tournament.
Six-day tournament ends on Monday, and like the flyer right here, schedule of games. Today is the 25th. We're going to have Cuba playing the USVI, St. Martin playing Dominican Republic, Bahamas 7 p.m. Tomorrow, USVI playing Dominican Republic, Curacao playing St. Martin, Bahamas playing Cuba, and on day 5, the Sunday, St. Martin versus USVI, Curacao versus Cuba, Dominican Republic versus the Bahamas. And on the Monday, the championship day is the bronze medal game and then the gold medal game. So that's third and fourth place and mm-hmm. first and second place games.
Yes. So this is a big time tournament. So it's definitely if your child is interested in baseball, softball.
Yes, you got to bring them out there.
You
got
to bring them out
there. Let them soak up the
culture. Especially when we give them free tickets, you don't got to buy it. You just come and collect it and say, my child plays softball. And especially this softball season in the private school. You're listening now and say, man, let me go get this tickets now for my child that they can see mm-hmm. professional players or senior players play so they can improve their
and if you
game.
Get multiple children, send them in one at a time.
One at a time. Yeah. Each child get one. Now, we have a caller here. I have so much text in my stay on the same topic about the old folks home. But I can do it. Let me do that. Let's go, caller. How you doing? Caller girl once. Call a girl twice. Can
Sorry.
You hear me?
Okay, here we go. Another caller.
Next call. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? You're live. I can hear you, but you're not talking.
Oh,
Yes, that's
I
you.
I think I have the wrong number. Sorry.
Okay, you're live on Guardian Radio AM, by the way. Okay. Just a text says, blessing CA and Lady Green, you are very smart, so right. The government needs to use their closeness to the rich and wealthy worldwide to build more housing, even high-rise housing for the total general public, plus more care home facilities for senior citizens and hurricane shelters, even more hospitals around the islands of the Bahamas. Also punish the caretaker or owner of old folks' homes in Grand Bahama. Don't close it down. Instead of closing it, take it from her, then place someone else or others in charge of operations. That's how we punish and caretakers, the caretaker, and still continue the house for house and care for the elderly.
And you compensate them for the assets, right? Like, you can't just say, oh, Miss Green, we're going to charge you with elder abuse and now we take in your house, right, to run a facility. There's a process there. But the point is that the matter is so dire, right? The particulars of the situation require a unique solution. And in this instance, is there a way that you can take over the facility and compensate the owner for use of the facility until other arrangements are made?
And also, we got to prove elder abuse. I don't necessarily think this is elderly abuse.
Hold on, but let's talk about something, because the new definition of violence said, I think, in the 2010 amendment of the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act, the domestic violence part, expands the definition of violence to include psychological, emotional, and financial violence, among other things, right? Mm-hmm. And so elder abuse can, this may be, we should determine whether,
investigate.
Right, because withholding money, making decisions for them, coercing them into making decisions about their money and assets is financial abuse.
And all that needs to be investigated.
Right, and then we also need to make a distinction between financial abandonment and psychological and emotional abandonment, right? And these two things are very important, because we live in a society where many parents tell their children, I only have a financial responsibility for you.
Yeah.
I only have a legal responsibility for you. I don't care about your feelings, right? Mm-hmm. But when you become elderly now, you expect something entirely different from your children. And perhaps what we are seeing is the culture that we've entrenched in our children unfolding and expanding before us. The next point I want to make is this, is that, yeah, we live in a capitalist society, but I think it's important for the government to consider the state that it creates is encouraging wealthy Bahamians to build housing options for tourism, but telling poor Bahamians they got to figure out where they're going to live. I don't think that the state realizes that their job is not just running a nation's economy, but running a country which is a composition of people and taking care of their needs, or providing an environment in which they can take care of their own needs.
Mm-hmm. We have several callers on. Let me just pass them through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning, CJ, and good morning to Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Morning.
Ms. Green, my comment had to do on the lines of what you were talking about just now, but it should be a serious crime to operate that type of business without a business license, eh?
I mean, but it would require a business license as well, right? But I think there are other patients that are more important, like depending on the type of care that you're offering. The caller yesterday indicated that dementia care is far more extensive than what we would, you know, consider regular geriatric care or elder care.
Yes, because I feel as if before you could even operate that type of establishment, you know what I mean, there should be certain checks and balances that you should be able to pass first. You know, the kind of, that's why I said, you know what I mean?
Right. And just because you passed it once doesn't mean that you are authorized forever. There should be regular inspections to ensure that you're maintaining the standards.
Mm-hmm. Of course. But the point I wanted to make, Ms. Green, like when you were talking with the government, I feel as if the government has a real responsibility to provide, like you said before, the environment where everything is looked after, not just that financial thing. You know, the kind of way they like to talk about the government is supposed to facilitate business, et cetera. But we need to really think about the human part of society, too. I feel as if, I mean, I don't know if anyone said this, but I feel as if that in every community, in every constituency, there should be some type of facility that can look after the elderly people, right? They should provide a pickup and a drop-off service for those who cannot provide it. And all whereas individuals who are heading to work, who doesn't have anyone to mind, individual during the day, but they can look after their parents during the nighttime, they could just drop them there in the morning and pick them up on their way home from work or something. And in the facility, they should have things that keeps the individual's mind sharp. Teach them how to play a new instrument, how to play chess.
Games like Sudoku, you know, and backgammon and
yes,
crosswords.
Yes. Bingo and all those different other things. And just provide an environment, even gym, you know, that kind of way for them to exercise and do everything else.
But one second. Check out today's Guardian. On the back of the main page, you'll see Ministry of Housing and Urban Housing and Urban Renewal. Seniors shine at Urban Renewal, Your Wellness Matters Extravaganza. So they had an exercise session for elder people. You spot on, caller. You spot on.
Yes, and like I said, what they need to do is they need to put this in every community, and I mean that way too. Like, aside from having it where you have regular individuals who are employed, who make a salary, you know what I mean? Then you can have individuals from the community volunteer their time and go there also to even make it easier, and you know, that kind of way.
Absolutely.
Because in that way, people could volunteer. Like, I might be able to play an instrument. I can go there and volunteer my talent, you know, that kind of way, to try and teach someone my skill or whatever the case may be. But we need to try to build better communities, Ms. Green, you know? And we really need to see to it that if money is going to be spent in this country, right, let's not have it being wasted, given to individuals who don't need it, who should be home sitting down instead of on the job, or just wasting it. Let's see that this money can be put to good use, man, because there's too much separation. But I feel as if those elderly homes, at least they can go in there now and really, like, hopefully, like, really, you know, investigate what's going on. And like you say, Ms. Green, keep up with it, you know, that kind of way, because in this country, we just like to, like, if something, you know, break out, we look at it for a second, and then when anybody look at me, just let it go back to normal. You know, but like I said before, we really need to have in every constituency
elder care and
that caters to the elderly in the community.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
2 points, then. Thank you to the caller. We need men.
Yeah.
Because older men are going to be a little more comfortable with men. A lot of older men ain't going to want a young girl or even an older woman helping them to the bathroom, assisting them with pulling up their pants, you know. And so it's important for men to volunteer, you know, like the caller said, as well. The second thing is, you know, bus drivers, bus union, think about this. Present a package to the government and say, look, we working with you. We know you working with us. We are willing, if you will pay, we will provide an elder care service, right, where we will design routes, or we'll move people in constituencies from homes to the urban renewal center or the community center, right? So you park in your bus for a big portion of the day because you say the traffic's not there. Talk to the government about where the traffic is, where the buses are needed, and maybe we could devise a way that you could get paid something for your off hours.
That's great. I like that. How much is the bus fee for senior citizens now?
I think it's 75 cents a dollar.
That's pricey for people who are only making $200 a month.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, CA and Aaron.
Morning.
Now, this is something new to me. I've never heard a quick claim deed in the Bahamas. Because the woman's still alive, and they transfer her assets. I mean, like, how does this, I don't know how that was done. Because the woman, like, triple, and she benefited from the woman's house, and she getting paid from the national insurance to keep this woman. But whoever carried the old woman to her is her family. Whoever check her in, she had a woman, that woman, mother, going over here. Call her family, but the woman here is so greedy, she doesn't want all the buy. She triple dipping on this woman. This is so wrong. I have an old English-trained lawyer, right? He says, them Bahamian-trained lawyers give them a headache. How unethical things they do.
That's called hearsay, sir. We can't, I judge Judy now. You can't say that before the court. That's hearsay.
I appreciate it, caller.
We appreciate the contribution.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hey, Mr. Neary. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
What I would like to say is this lady in Freeport, they say she have a few of these homes for the elderly. Because she did this, I feel like it needs to be looked in to see how did she come by having these other homes and to see if she got those legitimately. Because if we're going to investigate, let's investigate everything one time and not just let her be the only one that is investigated. Start investigation and then do an audit on these on some of these places and see what you come up with.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You know, it will be fair.
Yes, ma'am.
But they need to know where she got the rest of those houses from.
Okay, then. Aaron, but how does one do an audit? Shouldn't there be a complaint? If nobody complains that there's an issue, right? How does that start? And who does the audit? And do solicitors just worry about the health care of residents, or they?
I'd love to see a flyer from the Ministry of Social Services, right, that explains here is what to do if you feel your family member is not being cared for properly. Here's what to do if you think there's been a breach in the contractual agreement that you made with the care facility. Here's what to do if you feel like your family member has been injured, right? Or has been a victim of violence in a care facility center. Ministry of Social Services should have those posted everywhere.
Especially now, within the month.
Not just on the government website that don't exist. Mm-hmm. Not just on their Facebook page. And then once again, dear government, Facebook pages are not appropriate.
In the news, have you heard any word from social service yet?
There's a press statement. In fact, let me read the press statement.
Look for it while I go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, morning. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Good. I heard the lady said that she had a doctor came in and spoke with the elderly lady. Mm-hmm. Right? She said that she had a lawyer came in and spoke with the elderly lady. Is this a ring that all of them might be working with together? All of them might be in cahoots together, and working these people like that?
And we don't know, and this is where we're asking.
It sounds like a clique.
It's not unreasonable to raise that concern, and I hope that the authorities have also
And one more question before
that.
You let me go.
Yes, sir.
Is this have happened?
I'm so sorry, caller. We missed the first part of your question.
No, I'm asking you if this was the first time that this had happened at this home, or you know that this had happened with a patient
at this present night. That's all we know.
We know that in the ZNS report, individuals on a live scene in a live report, which is very difficult to manage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some individuals indicated that they also have concerns and issues with treatment of family members.
But they haven't made any complaint.
We don't know if any formal police complaint was lodged.
That need to be. But they say it's now under police investigation, so that's a good thing about
and I'm
that.
I'm about to read a statement, a joint statement from the Ministry for Grand Bahama and the Ministry of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting. Quote, government committed to thorough investigation of allegations involving Grand Bahama's care facility. Close quotes. The Ministry for Grand Bahama and the Ministry of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting are deeply concerned by the serious allegations involving a private care facility on Grand Bahama Island. The protection and well-being of our elderly citizens is a priority, and we want to assure the public that we are taking this matter very seriously. The Ministry of Social Services has launched a comprehensive investigation, and the case has been referred to the Royal Bahamas Police Force for further action. Additionally, while we understand desire for swift inquiry, we must allow the investigative process to proceed so that all facts can be thoroughly examined. We are committed to ensuring that in the egregious behavior and wrongdoing, those responsible are held accountable under the law and will take all necessary measures to protect the rights and dignity of our senior citizens. We ask for the community's patience and cooperation as the investigation unfolds. The Ministry of Social Services will continue to monitor the situation closely, and we will keep the public informed of any significant developments. We encourage anyone with information that could assist in this investigation to come forward. Our commitment is to uphold a safe, respectful, and supportive environment for all elderly residents in our community. Signed, Government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, October 24th.
Good. So an investigation is pending.
Yeah.
And we wait for that. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, the place remains open.
You remember the demonstration about the missing Oban files?
Yeah.
You remember it?
Yeah.
It didn't look like what we saw in Grand Bahama yesterday, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. We see you next week. Monday?
Yeah. Road to Halloween.
Yes.
Drop off all Halloween candy for Aaron Green at the Guardian at the front desk.
Good. And of course, remember that there's baseball tickets, free baseball tickets at the Guardian front desk that you go and claim.
Available today until 5 p.m. 7 p.m. game tonight, Bahamas versus Curacao at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium. Do not miss it. One ticket per person.
Yes. Anyway, you take care of yourself.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.